Here is the president.
Good evening. I have asked for this radio and television time tonight for the purpose of announcing that we today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam and in Southeast Asia. The following statement is being issued at this moment in Washington and Hanoi. At 12:30 Paris time today, January 23, 1973, the agreement on ending the war and restoring peace in Vietnam was initialed by Dr. Henry Kissinger on behalf of the United States and Special Advisor Lee Duc Tho on behalf of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. The agreement will be formally signed by the parties participating in the Paris Conference on Vietnam on January 27, 1973 at the International Conference Center in Paris. The ceasefire will take effect at 2400 Greenwich Mean Time, January 27, 1973. The United States and the Democratic Republic of Vietnam express the hope that this agreement will ensure stable peace in Vietnam and contribute to the preservation of lasting peace in Indochina and Southeast Asia. That concludes the formal statement. Throughout the years of negotiations, we have insisted on peace with honor. In my addresses to the nation from this room of January 25th and May 8th, I set forth the goals that we considered essential for peace with honor. In the settlement that has now been agreed to, all the conditions that I laid down then have been met. A ceasefire, internationally supervised, will begin at 7 p.m. this Saturday, January 27, Washington time. Within 60 days from this Saturday, all Americans held prisoners of war throughout Indochina will be released. There will be the fullest possible accounting for all of those who are missing in action. During the same 60-day period, all American forces will be withdrawn from South Vietnam. The people of South Vietnam have been guaranteed the right to determine their own future without outside interference. By joint agreement, the full text of the agreement and the protocols to carry it out will be issued tomorrow. Throughout these negotiations, we have been in the closest consultation with President Chu and other representatives of the Republic of Vietnam. This settlement meets the goals and has the full support of President Chu and the government of the Republic of Vietnam, as well as that of our other allies who are affected. The United States will continue to recognize the government of the Republic of Vietnam as the sole legitimate government of South Vietnam. We shall continue to aid South Vietnam within the terms of the agreement, and we shall support efforts by the people of South Vietnam to settle their problems peacefully among themselves. We must recognize that ending the war is only the first step toward building the peace. All parties must now see to it that this is a peace that lasts and also a peace that heals. And a peace that not only ends the war in Southeast Asia, but contributes to the prospects of peace in the whole world. This will mean that the terms of the agreement must be scrupulously adhered to. We shall do everything the agreement requires of us, and we shall expect the other parties to do everything it requires of them. We shall also expect other interested nations to help ensure that the agreement is carried out and peace is maintained. As this long and very difficult war ends, I would like to address a few special words to each of those who have been parties in the conflict. First, to the people and government of South Vietnam. By your courage, by your sacrifice, you have won the precious right to determine your own future. And you have developed the strength to defend that right. We look forward to working with you in the future, friends in peace, as we have been allies in war. To the leaders of North Vietnam, as we have ended the war through negotiations, let us now build a peace of reconciliation. For our part, we are prepared to make a major effort to help achieve that goal. But just as reciprocity was needed to end the war, so too will it be needed to build and strengthen the peace. To the other major powers that have been involved, even indirectly, now is the time for mutual restraint so that the peace we have achieved can last. And finally, to all of you who are listening, the American people, your steadfastness in supporting our insistence on peace with honor has made peace with honor possible. I know that you would not have wanted that peace jeopardized. With our secret negotiations at the sensitive stage they were in during this recent period, for me to have discussed publicly our efforts to secure peace would not only have violated our understanding with North Vietnam, it would have seriously harmed and possibly destroyed the chances for peace. Therefore, I know that you now can understand why, during these past several weeks, I have not made any public statements about those efforts. The important thing was not to talk about peace, but to get peace, and to get the right kind of peace. This we have done. Now that we have achieved an honorable agreement, let us be proud that America did not settle for a peace that would have betrayed our allies, that would have abandoned our prisoners of war, or that would have ended the war for us but would have continued the war for the 50 million people of Indochina. Let us be proud of the 2.5 million young Americans who served in Vietnam, who served with honor and distinction in one of the most selfless enterprises in the history of nations. And let us be proud of those who sacrificed, who gave their lives, so that the people of South Vietnam might live in freedom, and so that the world might live in peace. In particular, I would like to say a word to some of the bravest people I have ever met. The wives, the children, the families of our prisoners of war and the missing in action. When others called on us to settle on any terms, you had the courage to stand for the right kind of peace, so that those who died and those who suffered would not have died and suffered in vain, and so that where this generation knew war, the next generation would know peace. Nothing means more to me at this moment than the fact that your long vigil is coming to an end. Just yesterday, a great American who once occupied this office died. In his life, President Johnson endured the vilification of those who sought to portray him as a man of war. But there was nothing he cared about more deeply than achieving a lasting peace in the world. I remember the last time I talked with him. It was just the day after New Year's. He spoke then of his concern with bringing peace, with making it the right kind of peace. And I was grateful that he once again expressed his support for my efforts to gain such a peace. No one would have welcomed this peace more than he. And I know he would join me in asking for those who died and for those who live. Let us consecrate this moment by resolving together to make the peace we have achieved a peace that will last. Thank you and good evening.
You have been listening to an address by the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, on the CBS Radio Network. What the president has basically said, pretty much as expected, is that a peace agreement has been reached. He gave us some of the details. It is to be signed by Secretary of State Rogers on Saturday. It is to take effect. A ceasefire is to take effect at 7 p.m. this Saturday evening. That's Eastern Standard Time. And within 60 days, all Americans held prisoner are to be released, and there'll be the fullest possible accounting of the 1,400 Americans who are missing in action. In those same 60 days, all United States forces will be withdrawn. And texts and protocols of the exact words of the agreement are to be issued by both sides tomorrow. And finally, at the end, you heard him make a little tribute to the families of the prisoners and the missing, and saying, in his own words, that nothing is more important to me than that your long vigil is now coming to an end, a point at which the president seemed to be clearly moved. With me in the studio is my CBS News colleague, Robert Schieffer, our Pentagon correspondent. And at the White House is my CBS News colleague, Robert Pierpoint, our White House correspondent. Let's start with Bob Pierpoint. Bob?
George, there are several things that I think are worth noting about the president's brief speech. First of all, he said that the agreement is to bring peace with honor, and he kept emphasizing that, with honor, in both Vietnam and Southeast Asia. So presumably we have some kind of a deal here where the fighting will stop in Cambodia and Laos as well as in Vietnam, and that has been an important point throughout these negotiations. The United States wanted it very badly. Apparently the communists have agreed. At the same time, we note that the United States forces, all American forces, he said, will be withdrawn from South Vietnam. He did not say from Southeast Asia. So obviously the United States is going to keep its Air Force units in Thailand, and it's going to have its strong naval forces off the coast of Vietnam, and presumably these are in readiness in case there should be major violations of the agreement. They can be put back into action. Now, secondly, I would like to stress this peace with honor, because to me it sounded a little defensive on the part of the president. He used the phrase so many times that one wonders what other kind of peace he had in mind. I don't think that peace with dishonor was necessarily contemplated by anybody. And the real question here is whether, in fact, he has gotten any different kind of a peace than he could have had last October, or even 3 or 4 years ago. He's got a ceasefire, and we're going to get the prisoners back in 60 days. The rest of it we really don't know about. And finally, I'd like to point out that toward the end, when he was talking about President Johnson, he said he endured the vilification of those who sought to portray him as a man of war. And I got the feeling that he was, in a sense, associating himself very closely with President Johnson in that. I think he feels that he himself, Richard Nixon, has been reviled as a man of war, and now he's trying to prove that through this agreement he is a man of peace.
Bob Schieffer?
Well, George, it seemed to me that what we got tonight was really a headline, but with very few details. Presumably, we're going to get some of the details tomorrow. As Bob Pierpoint mentioned, the president said peace in Vietnam and all of Southeast Asia. But we still don't know if there's going to be a ceasefire in Cambodia and Laos. We still do not know what the role of U.S. troops in Thailand will be, and we have about 43,000 troops there and about 700 planes, 350 fighters, and 50 B-52s, another 150 B-52s in Guam. We still do not know the details of how the POWs will be released, although it's presumed that they will not all be released at once. But perhaps the biggest question of all, to me, was when the president said that the terms must be scrupulously adhered to. The question, and it's simply a question now, we don't know what the answer is how would the president mean to enforce that? What happens if the rules are not scrupulously adhered to? Does that mean that the bombing is resumed in South Vietnam? That's really about the only option the president has. He's going to withdraw the troops from South Vietnam. Certainly there'd be no stop in the withdrawal, but even the troops there are not combat troops. Most of them are headquarters troops, advisory troops, so they really couldn't retaliate in much of any way. So it seems to me that is the big question.
Let me ask both Bob Schieffer here in the studio and Bob Pierpoint at the White House, what do you think the president had in mind, and what has been spelled out anywhere along the lines of what he said when he addressed himself to the people of North Vietnam and said that we are ready to make a major effort there?
Well, George, this president, like his predecessor, Lyndon Johnson, has offered the North Vietnamese some degree of economic aid for the rebuilding of, well, let's face it, some of the destruction that we've caused. So that certainly one of the things he has in mind is some kind of an aid program in which the North Vietnamese can, if they wish to do so, cooperate.
Thank you, Bub. Standing by in our Paris studios is an old CBS News friend and colleague, Peter Kalischer, who's been covering the peace talks there. Peter?
I was very interested to hear what the president said, because his peace with honor is going to be matched tomorrow in a news conference by Le Duc Tho, the chief negotiator for Hanoi, who will, I'm sure, say virtually the same thing as far as North Vietnam is concerned. I can't conceive that he will tell newsmen that the peace which has been achieved without honor for his side. He also will probably claim the fact that everything he asked for has been met in the terms of the agreement. And I don't think that before we know what the terms of the agreement are, we can accept either interpretation of them.
It should be pointed out, perhaps at this point, that Hanoi Radio has already made its broadcast announcement. Unfortunately, I don't have the details as yet, but this was a simultaneous announcement by both Washington and Hanoi. Peter, do you have any details as to how and when the final ceremonies go on?
Well, none, except that they will be at the International Conference Center at the Hotel Majestic. You're speaking now of the signing by the foreign ministers and the Secretary of State. The preparations for this have been underway now for several days, and today we were witness to the exit from the Majestic of Le Duc Tho and Henry Kissinger and their respective aides beaming. We didn't have the announcement of the initialing, but everyone would have bet his last penny that it had happened. As you know, official photographers and cameramen from the Hanoi side and the Americans were called in to record the ceremony, and I suppose those pictures will now be released. As far as everybody here is concerned, this wrapped it up. Now, again, we have to wait till we read the terms of this agreement before we can make a judgment on whether the bombing of North Vietnam in December actually did compel the North Vietnamese to come back to the conference table, whether it changed appreciably their stance as they outlined it in October, whether this change amounted to a change in semicolons and commas, or it really brought what the president said it did, an opportunity for the South Vietnamese to stand on their feet and defend their independence. I'd also like to say that peace is a very big term to describe what we now have. I think a much better one would be an armistice, because I really believe that the struggle for Vietnam and probably for Indochina will go on, mostly politically, but I also have a sneaking suspicion that there will be armed struggles in the future. Whether they will be major or minor, I think nobody can say now.
And Peter, as you and I both know, having covered it, the war in Vietnam, the war in Korea ended in 1953 with a peace agreement, a ceasefire, an armistice, and only now, 20 years later, is real peace beginning to be negotiated, and even that isn't going too well.
George, I would like to make the point here.
Your point?
I agree with Peter's skepticism about the who got the honor in all this. It seems to me it's somewhat beside the point, despite the president's emphasis. What we all really know is that we're getting out now, and I think that's what's important to America. But I'm not even sure. Peter indicated that after we get to see the text, we'll know who got the honor. I'm not even sure that after we get all of the text and know everything that we're ever going to know in terms of the history of this, whether we're really going to find out exactly where we stand, because that is in the future. We do not, and here I agree with Peter again, we do not know whether we've got any more than a very temporary 60-day ceasefire. Whether we've got a peace or not depends on events that are out of the control of the President of the United States and of the American people.
Bob Schieffer again, and it's very interesting to note that the intelligence reports that have been received at the Pentagon during the last week tell of instructions to Viet Cong and North Vietnamese units in South Vietnam to prepare to run up as many flags as possible in as many villages as possible during the time between when this ceasefire was announced and in when it will actually be signed. The instructions were there will probably be a period of confusion. Try to take control of as many villages as possible during that time. Later you can blame it on the lack of communications or something like that. So I think we're going to see some step up of activity just in the next few days.
We have already the dispatches coming in this night talk, this evening talk once again of another drive in the Saigon area of the Viet Cong trying to establish strong points around Saigon. Let's break off here for a moment. My colleague, CBS News national correspondent Eric Severide, has been in another studio, and Mr. Severide has some thoughts about this.
Well, the president has given us the bare bones of the settlement, the essence of it. The full details of the agreements we'll know tomorrow. That will be another story, but it won't change this great essential fact. This is the announcement that the country's been waiting to hear for years now, under two presidents at least. I would think the most important announcement perhaps this president will ever make. I don't think there's going to be hats thrown in the air anywhere, for I think most of the people in this country, it's like somebody coming out of prison after many years. He's a bit stunned and trying to get adjusted to the sunlight. And perhaps the observance of the Lyndon Johnson funeral is more appropriate as a celebration of a kind. Taps are more appropriate than skyrockets this time. We'll know he has said that this will be a peace that will last. He believes, for Southeast Asians as well as for the United States, we know we're getting out. The question, of course, is what happens there in the next few years. He seems confident it may hold. When we see the terms tomorrow, I suppose all the speculation of all the specialists will center on those points.
One last problem I suspect we ought to discuss here, and that is, what's going to happen about the American prisoners of war? Where are they going to come out? Who's going to bring them out? Who's going to meet them where? What are the plans? First, Bob Pierpont at the White House.
George, if that's a subject that I'm frank to say I don't know a great deal about.
All right, I'm prepared to relieve you of it, if you like, and toss it to Bob Schieffer.
I think he's the man.
George, as the only thing we learned from the president tonight is that the prisoners will be released during the next 60 days. He gave absolutely no detail, but this is in line with what the military thinking is at the Pentagon. Nobody seems to think that they're all going to be released at once. They expect that they'll be released over a period of weeks, probably in groups of 30 to 60. The Pentagon would much prefer to fly Air Force jets directly into Hanoi and pick up the men there and then fly them back to Manila in the Philippines, which is where they're going to be given their first physicals. But the expectation is that the North Vietnamese are going to insist on a neutral site for the prisoner transfer. The best guess is right now that the transfer will be at Vientiane, Laos, and that the first transfers will begin at least 2 or 3 days after the ceasefire goes into effect, but probably within a week or so.
All righty, let me just repeat the salient points of what the president said this evening. He said we have achieved peace with honor. The protocols and texts will be released tomorrow. The ceasefire itself will take effect in South Vietnam at 7 p.m. this Saturday evening. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Within 60 days, all Americans held prisoners of war will be released, and there will be the fullest possible accounting on the 1,400 who are missing. All American forces will be withdrawn from South Vietnam, but not necessarily from the rest of Indochina, within those same 60 days. He said the agreement meets the goals and has the full support of President Chu of South Vietnam. He said we shall continue to aid South Vietnam within the terms of the agreement, presumably meaning economic aid. And then he said the terms must be scrupulously adhered to. He said we're going to have to work very hard to make this ceasefire into a peace. And he said we must recognize that ending the war is only the first step towards building peace. On behalf of my colleagues, Everett Severod, Peter Kalischer in Paris, Bob Pierpoint at the White House, Bob Schieffer, and myself, George Herman, CBS News, this has been a CBS News special report from Washington.
President Nixon speaking from his office in the White House. He announced what had already been widely rumored, that today the United States concluded an agreement to end the war in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. He said that Henry Kissinger, his chief negotiator, had initialed that agreement, and it will be formally signed on Saturday, January 27th in Paris. The ceasefire will come into effect at 2400 GMT on that same day, that is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. Mr. Nixon expressed the hope that this peace will provide a lasting peace. He said all the conditions he had laid down for a peace with honor had been met. Within 60 days, all U.S. prisoners in Vietnam and Southeast Asia will be released, and there will be the fullest accounting of the missing in action. In the same 60 days, all U.S. troops will be withdrawn from South Vietnam. Mr. Nixon said that the people of South Vietnam had been guaranteed the freedom to determine their own future. And he said the settlement meets the goals and has the full support of President Thieu. He said the United States will continue to recognize the Thieu government as the sole government of South Vietnam and would continue, within the terms of the agreement, to aid South Vietnam. To the people and government of South Vietnam, he said, "You've won the precious right to determine your own future and develop the strength to do so." To the leaders of North Vietnam, Mr. Nixon appealed to them to help him build a peace of reconciliation, and he said the United States was prepared to make a major effort to help achieve that goal. Finally, excusing his own recent silence on Vietnam, Mr. Nixon said he had not spoken to the public on the subject because he didn't want to jeopardize the negotiations. He said it was better not to talk about peace, but to achieve peace. And at the end, in a handsome tribute to the late President Johnson, who died yesterday, he said no one would have welcomed this peace more than he. In the forthcoming days, watch public television for programs dealing with and interpreting the agreement the President has announced tonight. The Vietnam settlement will be the main subject of Washington Week in Review this week. I'm Robert McNeil. Good night for NPACT.
This program has been a production of NPACT, a division of the Greater Washington Educational Telecommunications Association.
This is Dan Rather, CBS News in Washington. For those of you who may have joined us late, President Nixon got right to the point in the first couple of sentences in his address, which lasted almost exactly 10 minutes from the Oval Office of the White House, the President announcing an end to the war, a ceasefire for this coming Saturday, prisoners to be returned within 60 days. With me in our CBS News Washington studios, CBS News national correspondent Eric Severide and our diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kell. With the notation that in this instance, reporters did not have an advanced text to the President's remarks and had no official word on what indeed he was going to say. Gentlemen, the question is review, recap, and analyze. Eric?
Well, the President has given us the bare bones of the settlement, the essence of it. The full details of the agreements we'll know tomorrow. That will be another story, but it won't change this great essential fact. This is the announcement that the country's been waiting to hear for years now, under two presidents at least. I would think the most important announcement perhaps this president will ever make. I don't think there's going to be hats thrown in the air anywhere, for I think most of the people in this country, it's like somebody coming out of prison after many years. He's a bit stunned and trying to get adjusted to the sunlight. And perhaps the observance of the Lyndon Johnson funeral is more appropriate. As a celebration of a kind, taps are more appropriate than skyrockets this time. We'll know he has said that this will be a peace that will last, he believes, for Southeast Asians as well as for the United States. We know we're getting out. The question, of course, is what happens there in the next few years. He seems confident it may hold. When we see the terms tomorrow, I suppose all the speculation of all the specialists will center on those points.
Marvin Kalb, the President said that this agreement has the full support of President Thieu in Saigon. Is there any reason whatsoever to doubt that?
Well, Dan, the South Vietnamese I've talked to here certainly have expressed a good bit of skepticism about the future of their own country. They wonder really whether the terms, and once again, as Eric said, we don't know exactly what has been agreed to. We'll find that out tomorrow. They seem to feel that they, to some degree, have not gotten the full backing of the United States. And when you point out to them that what more could the U.S. do, they say, we understand that. But nevertheless, you are leaving. This is the end of your war. It is really a question now as to whether it's going to be an end of the Vietnamese conflict itself. It's just that we're pulling out, and for that, a very large hooray is certainly in order. There were two points that struck me, Dan, which I would like to just mention. One, several times the president seemed to either appeal or warn North Vietnam almost in the same breath that reciprocity got us the peace, and reciprocity is necessary in order to maintain the peace, so don't take advantage of it. The second thing seemed to be an indirect appeal to both the Russians and the Chinese to exercise mutual restraint. And as the outgoing Defense Secretary Laird said just the other day, the best follow-up to this kind of an agreement would be one between the three great powers, the United States, the Soviet Union, and China, to at least restrict arms supplies into both North and South Vietnam. This would be a terribly central fact in whether peace is going to be maintained.
Well, Eric, terrible as it is to behold, to even contemplate on this, while somber in reflection, nonetheless a joyous occasion looking forward to the ceasefire, what if it doesn't hold? The president laid that out as a possibility himself, saying, warning, as Marlon has pointed out, about reciprocity. What can he do if it doesn't hold together?
I don't think anybody's going to be in a mood to think in those terms unless that should happen. I think everybody in this country is just so relieved that we are getting out of this thing. Certainly it's going to hold for some time. Who can read the future? Every prediction, every official prediction that I can think of almost about this war for 10 years has been proved wrong.
And a lot of our predictions.
But at least we will be out of the thing. And I don't think people are going to care what the terms of this are. Only some specialists. Things go bad, of course, the people in Southeast Asia will be concerned. But this country has had it as far as this war goes.
Marvin, what does it appear the president got in this agreement that he did not have before the bombing over the Christmas period?
Well, this is something that we just don't know. We don't know. The only thing we knew about the agreement in October is what the North Vietnamese put out, which was a 9-point summary. We never did get an American summary or even the full text in October. The president did say that the full text, even with the implementing protocols, will be released tomorrow, so that at that point we'll have some way of judging exactly what has been gained by continuing the war for another 3 months. We simply don't know at this point.
You can make one generalization, I suppose. Whether this holds or not depends almost entirely on the strength, the viability of the government regime in Saigon. But if there's enough cement in that society, maybe there is what they're now calling a decent chance for its survival. If there isn't, then the troubles will start up at some point down the line. It sounds very much like the Geneva settlement of 54, except I would assume, though we haven't yet seen the details, that there are a lot of northern troops who will remain, at least for some time, in the south. Nobody has won. It is compromised, because that's the kind of situation it was.
I was just going to follow up this point that Eric is raising here. If you go back historically, right after the Second World War, the communists had nothing in Indochina. In 1954, they got North Vietnam. In 1973, right now, according to everything we know about this agreement, they will have the legalization of the communist presence in the South, so that historically there is a movement in their direction towards solidifying some kind of control over all of Vietnam. The key thing, I think, at this point is that the North Vietnamese themselves have been under pressure by both the Russians and the Chinese to go for a truce. To give all of the warring factions in Indochina a time for a deep breath. This is really what this agreement has given everyone. Whether, in fact, it can lead to a lasting peace will depend so much upon the willingness of the North as well as the South to restrain themselves, not to take advantage.
We don't know what our commitments to the future for South Vietnam really are.
These are among
the principal
questions.
We don't know yet what we will do with that air force that stays in Thailand, whether we will use that as a stick and use offers of aid to the North as a carrot. There is, of course, the theory that they will not go back to fighting, at least for a long time to come, Because they've got to rebuild that country. They're going to use their energies, their manpower for that, and we will be involved in that, very likely, and other countries will. And I think that is part of the reasoning, that with all that going on, they won't for some time want to go back on the war kick.
Is it fair to say that the war is now moving from a combat stage to a strictly political stage? Fair enough?
Well, political, with a good bit of guerrilla operations out in the countryside, a good bit of contesting for who controls what village. This is really part of the political struggle now itself.
I think the essential, one or two essential points might be made in the last few seconds here. The war was never winnable because we were not fighting an armed force. We were fighting a society. You could not win it unless you physically destroyed that society. That was beyond the spiritual means of the people of the United States. But that society remains. It's a revolutionary society. And I personally doubt that they will give up forever what they've been trying to do for 30 years.
Gentlemen, thank you. Our time is up. To quote directly from President Nixon's address tonight, in which he announced a ceasefire in Vietnam beginning on Saturday, quote the president, "The important thing is to get peace. This we have done," unquote. For Eric Severide and Marvin Kalb, Dan Rather in Washington.
In a short 11 and a half minutes, President Nixon has announced a historic agreement, the kind he says he's been holding out for 4.5 years. The agreement has been initialed in Paris already. It will be signed Saturday next in Paris and will go into effect with a ceasefire at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday evening. In 60 days thereafter, all United States prisoners of war held by the Viet Cong or North Vietnam will be released, and in those same 60 days, every American soldier will be withdrawn from Vietnam. The full text of the agreement is to be announced tomorrow morning, and I understand that Dr. Henry Kissinger will brief the press and the nation on the meaning of that agreement tomorrow. I understand also, though the president did not announce it, that this agreement applies. There's an understanding that this applies to Cambodia and Laos as well as to South Vietnam. That the number of inspection troops from neutral countries who will go in to inspect is a great many more than Hanoi originally wanted, 250. We wanted several thousand. It will be several thousand. Ends our report from the White House. This is Howard K. Smith for ABC News in Washington.
That was a key part of President Nixon's speech. Standing by now in Washington is NBC News White House correspondent Richard Valeriani. Dick, what can you add to what the president has said? And in particular, on this point, the president said the agreement would be signed by the parties participating in the Paris conference. Does that mean the United States and North Vietnam only?
No, I think it means, Ed, all of the parties participating, and that means the four parties. This has to be a four-party agreement to be effective. Therefore, it has to include the United States, North Vietnam, South Vietnam, and what is called the Provisional Revolutionary Government of South Vietnam, that is the Viet Cong. There are about three things that stand out in the speech. One is that the president made the point that this agreement, in order to work, must be scrupulously adhered to. He is telling North Vietnam, I think, particularly, that this is not meant to be merely a temporary agreement to last for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or a couple of months. This is an agreement that he expects to endure for some time. Then he also called on the big powers to exercise mutual restraint. There is a suggestion here that the big powers, that is the United States, the Soviet Union, and the People's Republic of China, have already some kind of tacit agreement not to give their client states the necessary means to carry on a major war. And that's going to be an important part in maintaining the peace in Vietnam, apart from merely a ceasefire. If the big powers somehow guarantee a peace, then it has a chance of succeeding. Without that, it will have less of a chance.
Dick, the White House was extraordinarily careful today to allow no word of what the president was to say to leak out, at any rate from the United States end. Were you given any sort of interpretation of the terms which the president said are not to be made public until tomorrow?
We have been given no interpretation whatsoever of the terms. This information throughout the last few stages of the bargaining sessions has been very tightly held. Now, as you may know, we went on the air earlier tonight and said that it would be signed on Saturday because there were diplomatic leaks in various parts of Washington and elsewhere and other world capitals that it would be signed on Saturday. But this information has been very tightly held, I think, for this reason, that in the past, both the United States and North Vietnam have broken their agreement not to divulge the substance of the negotiations. And when the other side did it, the side that did not break it interpreted the breaking of the agreement as an indication that the other side was not really being serious in the negotiations. Once both sides became really devotedly serious in a really dedicated way, I think they wanted to communicate this to each other by saying, no more leaks, no more breaks in the agreement. We will hold this information very tightly. And they did as an indication that they were really down to the nub of the solution.
And it would simply have been much too dangerous to leak anything at this stage because the North Vietnamese might have interpreted it as a lack of seriousness.
Well, I think it would have been on both sides. If the North Vietnamese had been leaking something in Paris, the United States might have taken it as a lack of seriousness. And as you know, back in after October, after the October session, when it seemed that, well, when Kissinger said that peace was at hand, there was jockeying on both sides to gain, or it appeared to each other that there was jockeying on both sides to gain certain advantages. And I think this way, by really restricting the information, it indicated to both sides that they were being very serious about concluding an agreement.
Thank you very much, Dick. Richard Valeriani, NBC News White House correspondent at the White House. We've just received a report from Saigon that President Chu of South Vietnam has made the same announcement that President Nixon did, that the ceasefire agreement will be signed in Paris on Saturday. Over the months, hopes for peace in Vietnam rose and fell with the comings and goings of Henry Kissinger in Paris and Washington. Those hopes, of course, reached their highest point today when Kissinger returned to Washington from Paris. Let's return for a report on that to White House correspondent Richard Valeriani.
Presidential jet bringing Kissinger back from Paris landed at Andrews Air Force Base just outside Washington about 4 hours ago. This was the 24th round trip between Washington and Paris for Kissinger, and it appeared to be the end of his travels for Vietnam peace negotiations. The presidential advisor was smiling as he emerged from the plane, but he did not give his customary wave to waiting newsmen. He did follow his recent custom of not talking to them. Kissinger brought back with him a text of a ceasefire agreement that had been initialed by all parties involved. Sources in Washington said the agreement would be signed formally in Paris on Saturday, with a ceasefire taking effect immediately thereafter, and President Nixon confirmed that tonight. It will be signed by foreign ministers, which means Secretary of State Rogers will sign for the United States. Kissinger left Andrews Air Force Base immediately for the White House by helicopter to report to the president on his session today with Hanoi's top negotiator, Le Duc Tho, and to review the text. But even before Kissinger had left Washington, the White House had said he was going to Paris for the purpose of completing the text of an agreement. Tonight, Kissinger joined the president in briefing the cabinet and the five top leaders of the Congress, plus Vice President Agnew, on the Vietnam peace developments. Tomorrow morning, Mr. Nixon and his top foreign affairs aide will brief an expanded group of congressional leaders. Meanwhile, four senators are in our NBC studios tonight with NBC News congressional correspondent Paul Duke.
Well, as Dick Valeriani just said a moment ago, before making his announcement tonight, the president gave an advance briefing to congressional leaders. Since Congress returned early this month, there has been increased agitation in both the House and Senate to end the war. So tonight's announcement obviously comes as welcome news on Capitol Hill. To explore further the implications of all this, we have with us in our Washington studios four prominent senators: Republican Jacob Javits of New York, Democrat Henry Jackson of Washington State, Democrat Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota, and Republican John Tower of Texas.